It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
6ABC goes all in on wind turbines, even though they are unpopular, but they do what the corporate media does. They go with the environmental wacko agenda, not what the people want. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. Our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Busy, busy Tuesday. Thanks for being here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Scioli. I appreciate it. Very, very much. I appreciate you being here today. So my buddy Mike Donahue, if you heard the show on Friday, then you heard Mike Donahue is the chairman of the Cape May Republican Party. He came on the show. He's the guy that fought Ørsted, the Danish wind company. And we now say it's Ørsted because he killed Ørsted. He did, and he did a great job with it. So good for him. Well done. Excellent work. So I saw it today on Facebook that he posted this whole thing about 6ABC, and he said, hey, 6ABC, let's have a conversation about this. Because they did a whole story, Climate Ready, the benefits and challenges of wind energy. Yeah, that's right. Whole story about it as part of the Climate Ready collaboration. And they're trying to say how these things are becoming popular, these wind turbines. These are not popular. Nobody at the Jersey Shore wants these things. No one. No one with common sense wants these things either. Let's take a little bit of their story.
Series tonight, ABC News and Action News have teamed up to focus on solutions to adapt to the current challenges our climate is facing. And Action News reporter Trish Hartman has a look at how wind energy is gaining in popularity.
Inside the sustainability lab at Stockton University, students research renewable energy, and that includes wind.
The wind offshore is strong and predictable, which makes it an incredibly reliable source of energy.
Professor Patrick Hasse is following the development of offshore wind farms off the coast of New Jersey closely, including some significant obstacles. The biggest one?
Defining a manufacturing supply chain, without question.
Currently, there are three viable offshore wind projects off the coast of central and southern New Jersey. A fourth, Ørsted's Ocean Wind, was canceled last year, the company citing economic factors. Last month, the project called Leading Light Wind paused through December 20th. The reason? trouble finding a manufacturer for the turbine blades. Leading Light Wind's project director says the company will keep pursuing options and discussing with the State Board of Public Utilities.
You don't just buy a turbine and then install it. You basically need to find manufacturers as local as possible and as regional as possible, because these are large pieces of equipment that really can't easily be moved around the world.
But Hase doesn't think this is the end for Leading Light. Another project, Atlantic Shores, just received Clean Air Act permits from the EPA. While these projects have prompted outrage, protests, and lawsuits from groups and politicians along the Jersey Shore, state officials say pushing ahead will help mitigate the effects of climate change on the region.
By investing in clean energy and developing offshore wind, we are doing our part in New Jersey to mitigate those effects and hopefully reduce any potential outcome that is.
Notice how they don't mention anything about dead whales and dead dolphins. You notice that? Because what do I always tell you? Dead whales don't vote. Dead Democrats do. But what a one-sided puff piece pro wind turbine, not to mention these components are made in China, despite what that guy says about them being local. This is a usual one-sided, completely biased, nothing objective about this report. And it's not over yet.
You know, that could be devastating when it comes to flooding along the coastline.
Officials say turbines could start spinning anywhere between 2028 and 2032. Now, New Jersey is on its fourth round of offshore wind solicitations, meaning more projects could be in the works by the end of the year. Reporting in Atlantic City, New Jersey, Trish Hartman, Channel 6, Action News.
Hey, Trish, not for nothing. Why don't you go ask some of the people how they feel about these wind turbines? Just out of curiosity. The story I have here, most in New Jersey don't want King Philip the Unaccountable's offshore wind farms. SureNewsNetwork.com. Support for the development of offshore wind turbines in New Jersey has seen a significant decline, particularly in coastal areas, according to a recent poll by the William J. Hughes Center for Public Policy at Stockton University. While 50% of New Jersey residents still support the state's initiative to build wind turbines off the coast to generate electricity, the number represents a 30 percentage point drop from 2019 when support was at 80%. And I should mention this article is a little bit older, so I think the support's gone down even more since then. Residents of coastal communities show the steepest decline in support, with only 33% currently in favor compared to 77% 4 years ago. You know why? Because they have learned the truth about these things. And despite all the puff pieces out there from 6ABC and other sites, people know the truth now. And they also know that we're paying for these things. You open up your electricity bill, you're subsidizing all this. You're paying for all this. The main concerns cited include potential harm to marine life and the obstruction of ocean views. Not to mention, by the way, the incredible sound that you'd hear on the beach from these things. The ugly sight lines. And yeah, dead whales and dolphins. That's a thing, too. The U.S. Interior Department approved the Ocean Wind 1 project last July, which includes the construction and operation of 98 wind turbines and up to 3 offshore substations. The project came to a halt when the vendor bailed on New Jersey, thanks to the great work of people pushing back, like Congressman Jeff Van Drew. He's been fighting this really hard. Good for him. Excellent work. Following a decision by its board of directors, Ørsted ceased development of the Ocean Wind 1 and Ocean Wind 2 projects. These projects have experienced significant impacts from macroeconomic factors, including high inflation, rising interest rates, and supply chain constraints, particularly a vessel delay in Ocean Wind 1 that considered impacting project timing. Statewide, 72% of residents expressed concern about climate change, with 51% emphasizing the importance of state action to combat it, yet there are mixed feelings about the benefits of renewable energy, such as wind power, with 52% believing it will improve the climate. However, less than half of the respondents think it will positively impact local job opportunities, energy costs, or the reliability of electricity. Additionally, 48% oppose tax breaks for companies building wind turbines. Well, they all get tax breaks, and they get the subsidies from your electric bill. Yeah, it's a scam. The whole thing's a scam. Concerns about the impact of wind turbines on ocean views and marine life are notable, with 71% believing turbines will affect views and 68% concerned about the impacts on marine life. I do like the fact that people are first and foremost concerned about their views, and then the whales and dolphins. Tourism impacts are also a concern, with 55% believing the turbines will affect shore tourism either a great deal or somewhat. No question about it. They've estimated that the impact on the shore economy could be in the billions of dollars. In the negative billions of dollars. But why though, does the 6 ABC report not have any of that in there? You know what I mean? Why is it that they don't put any of that in there? I wonder why. I wonder if it's because that's what the left and the media does. They push narratives. They push agendas. Updating offshore wind turbines. New designs require addressing problems at smaller scales, say scientists. Extreme weather impacts on offshore wind turbines are not fully understood by the industry. This is from TechExplorer.com. TechExplorer.com. Manufacturers design wind turbines based on international design standards, but better models and data are needed to study the impacts of extreme weather to inform and revise design standards. Really? In a comprehensive review published in the Journal of Renewable and Sustainable Energy, Wang and colleagues at at the Argo National Laboratory, the National Science Foundation National Center of Atmospheric Research, the National Renewable Energy Laboratory, Michigan Technological University, and Pacific Northwest National Laboratory critically examined the landscape of tropical storm observation technology. They also reviewed advanced physics-based modeling and data-driven models that use AI and machine learning. Quote, the intensity of extreme weather events is not well predicated by traditional methods. After reviewing the state-of-the-art science, technologies, and methods, we need to do the work to bridge between the scales of weather data, whole wind farms, and individual wind turbines. For example, offshore wind turbine standards created by the International Electrotechnical Commission do not account for the complexity of extreme weather impacts on turbines, and they could benefit from robust data from a variety of new technologies and data sharing collaborations. Well, then I guess the question is, if they need to do more study on these things, what is the rush? Why are they rushing on this? Oh, and you know the answer, because they want to get this done before Trump wins and kills this entire project. They need a lot more research done on these things. High winds and waves are damaging. And because waves can create energy that can drive ocean currents, those components of wind, waves, and ocean currents can come from and go in different directions. This is known as misalignment and makes the turbine more vulnerable. You know, in Boston, operations are underway right now on the seafloor to it's called the Vineyard Wind Turbine. It broke this summer, and now they got to go into the ocean and try to get it. Yeah. I'm telling you, man. This stuff is terrible. This stuff is terrible. And there was another dead whale that washed up in Lavalette, New Jersey last week. But, you know, The battle for offshore wind, and you have to realize something right now, and this is why there's been so many groups that have been working here to try to move on this, is because these groups have had no say in the project. And this has been driven from the top down. You want to talk about fascism? You know what fascism is? What fascism is fascism is when the top government at the highest level decides for everybody below, and there's no local input whatsoever. That's literally the definition of fascism. That's what's happening here. ShoreNewsNetwork.com, a coalition of more than 40 municipalities and organizations across New Jersey, has formed to oppose the state's large-scale offshore wind energy project, citing concerns over rising costs to ratepayers and potential environmental impacts. Funny enough, this was not mentioned in the 6 ABC story about how these things are gaining in popularity. That's weird how they left that out. The newly established Jersey Strong Coastal Coalition is calling on the New Jersey Board of Public Utilities to reject new contracts for two major wind energy projects being developed by Atlantic Shores Offshore Wind LLC, a joint venture between Shell Oil and Électricité de France. Coalition sent a letter this week to the BPU warning of significant rate increases and outlining legal violations they argue would occur if the projects proceed. The two projects involving 200 wind turbines with plans for 100 more are slated for construction just 8.4 miles off the New Jersey coast. Long Beach Township Mayor Joseph Mancini said our members are growing because folks are finding out about rate hikes across the board, about the risk of broken blades washing ashore. The letter highlights the economic impact on New Jersey residents, with estimates showing energy cost increases of 24% for residential users, 28% for commercial users, 32% for industrial users. In fact, the coalition estimates that ratepayers would subsidize the wind projects by $65 billion over their lifetime, which they argue violates state laws meant to protect consumers from unreasonable energy costs. You think? Mayor of Brigantine, Vincent J. Serra, echoed concerns over the long-term consequences, stating, quote, if we stand by and allow the industrialization of our coastline, the next generation is going to ask why we did not act when there was still time. The coalition also noted more than 50 municipalities and local governments have passed resolutions calling for a review of the offshore wind projects before they move forward. The letter calls for a pause on all offshore wind projects until a thorough review of environmental, economic, and technological risks can be completed. By the way, this is the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. And remember, his Veterans Breakfast is scheduled for Saturday, November 9th. Veterans Breakfast and free community shredding event. Mark your calendar for that on Saturday, September 9th. The Atlantic Shores project has already received state approval to build 200 wind turbines, but the coalition is urging the state to reject further approvals for the additional turbines. The proposed wind turbines would stand over 1,000 feet tall, beginning less than 9 miles from Ocean and Atlantic counties. For comparison, many projects along the East Coast are typically located more than 35 miles offshore. The letter's been sent to both the BPU, the Board of Public Utilities, and state legislators with a warning. They intend to appeal any contract approvals that do not comply with state law. The BPU has smashed through these guardrails and set ratepayers and the entire NJ economy hurtling along a path into an economic ditch. Signatories of the coalition include local governments and organizations from towns across the state, ranging from Atlantic County Commissioners and Brick Township to small communities like Surf City and Seaside Heights. It's everybody up and down the Jersey Shore. Nobody wants these things. Nobody. Nobody wants these things. And yet 6ABC is like, oh, they're so popular now. Oh, wow, the growing popularity. Growing popularity. Did 6ABC do any due diligence in their reporting? No, because the media is there to push a narrative. This is a great lesson, actually. That even locally, the corporate media exists to push a narrative. They're all in on this climate change nonsense. They don't care that towns oppose it. They don't care that the residents and local communities, business owners, fishermen, whales and dolphins oppose it. They don't care. They don't care.
All right, now to our Climate Ready series tonight. Sure. ABC News and Action News have teamed up to focus on solutions to adapt to the current challenges our climate is facing. And Action News reporter Trish Hartman has a look at how wind energy is gaining in popularity.
Gaining in popularity with who?
Inside.
Where? Who likes this idea? Gaining in popularity. Gaining in popularity. I love it. I love it. They don't talk about any of there's in this little puff piece, this two minute and 10 second propaganda piece from 6ABC. Not a mayor, not a council member. It's all environmental kooks. It's all environmental kooks who are the ones going out there and praising these wind turbines. climate ready. Yes. I'm glad these coalitions are coming together. I really am. I'm glad, because if this doesn't happen soon, I mean, if they don't stop this, if Trump does not get elected, the left is going to move forward with this. And I'll tell you the big reason why. The biggest reason why is because people like Phil Murphy, King Philip the Unaccountable, his royal rugness, they think this will advance their political career. 500 rallied in Seagirt against offshore wind turbines. Governor Murphy drove by the crowd as he entered the National Guard Training Center Sunday morning. People holding signs saying, "Save our whales, stop the wind turbines." And Point Pleasant Mayor Paul Kenitra, New Jersey Republican governor candidate Jack Cittarelli, and others were all there for the protest. Nearly 500 people rallied this past Sunday morning to protest the planned installation of wind turbines off the Jersey Shore. And his royal rugness drove right by them. We wanted him to see us, and he did see us and snuck past us when Republican governor candidate Jack Cittarelli was speaking, said one of the organizers, Lynette Viviani of StopTheHighRiskPowerCables.org, a group of Jersey Shore residents that are trying to prevent plans to bring the wind energy ashore in Seagirt, Manasquan, and Wall. The wind farm that is currently progressing off the Jersey Shore's Atlantic Shores, which is actually composed of three wind farms: Atlantic Shores North, which is a wind farm about 9 to 10 miles off Barnegat Light; Atlantic Shores South, 195 turbines, 8.7 miles off Atlantic City; Atlantic Shores Bight, a third lease area much farther out to sea, located in an area known as the Atlantic Bight. This is a private subsidiary, but we will have to pay for this with our rate dollars, and of course they'll need tax breaks and everything else to make it. And they have to use big, massive underground cables to be built under the ocean floor, and then they got to bring it back on land. And they also have to convert it, because the power is not efficient when it reaches the land, so they got to convert it. The high voltage electric cables will be buried 3.5 to 8 feet underground. I thought we're not supposed to put electricity near water. That's what I thought. That was a whole bad, like a big no-no. They'll run within 35 feet of homes, schools, businesses, recreation areas. They'll be buried within 10 to 15 yards of homes, recreational facilities, schools, and underneath the coast to Capitol Bike Trail. Cables will carry up to 6,400 megawatts of power. That's nearly 10 times the power of the recently closed Oyster Creek nuclear plant. Based on the evidence presented by the Board of Public Utilities, no project of this magnitude has been tested or implemented. Because they don't care. They don't care. And the only people, I mean, if it was not for the local municipalities and the local elected officials who are fighting this stuff, people like Congressman Chris Smith, who said the rush to install these expensive and expansive offshore wind farms with industrial cables, tearing up towns like Seagirt, Manasquan, Wall, and Howell's, catastrophe in the making. Governor Murphy's blatant disregard for the concerns of local residents, the dangers presented by these projects, and the reckless spending in pursuit of them makes no sense whatsoever. It's long past time, Governor Murphy, tune in and listen to the great residents of the state. He won't. Bottom line. Lots more to come. Trump spoke today on the economy. Kamala Harris refused the invitation. But what will the big interview with Bret Baier bring to light? Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, It can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh man, the media's in a frenzy over Trump dancing last night. They are losing their freaking minds over this. Guy was dancing on stage. I've never seen like this before. This absolute meltdown over him dancing. It's unbelievable. He's a dancing king. They can't take it. Welcome back to the show. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Appreciate you being here today on a Tuesday. Yeah, no, really, there's a lot of this. Trump dancing is not normal behavior for a candidate. They had a CNN roundtable going in on all this, because I guess at the rally at Oaks yesterday, he started playing music and dancing to it. And they're just losing their friggin' mind. And they want to use this now. The same media that covered up, the very same people that covered up Joe Biden's mental decline and cognitive decline, now turning around and saying that Trump dancing is a sign that he has cognitive decline and he has dementia and that people should feel bad for him and his family. I kid you not. Proof that he has dementia and people should feel badly for his family. The very same people that covered up Joe Biden are now the experts in dementia because a man is up there dancing. This is the kind of stuff we have to listen to from ABC News.
To be clear, Michael, I always appreciate your passion in every interview that we have. Congressman, you know, you both have laid out these big contrasts in the two candidates. One that is just the fact is their contrast in age. And we've been seeing the Harris campaign really try to lean into the older age issue with Trump, including, you know, Governor Walz just yesterday. He said that, you know, Trump is maybe hiding something from voters without releasing his medical records. Harris has said something along those lines as well. Here's part of Governor Walz.
We're all wondering. Donald Trump said that he would release his numbers. He would release his medical records. Look, he says now, I think he forgot to do it. He's been forgetting things. We'll give him a break on this. But Kamala Harris is right on this. Watch his rallies. He's confused. He's a nearly 80-year-old man. He's ranting and rambling until people get bored and leave his rallies. That's happening.
Are they really doing this, huh? They're really going there. This is just rich, isn't it? It's rich. These people spent months telling us Joe Biden was fine. Months. Telling us Joe Biden was fine. It was fake news. And the corporate media went along with the White House saying it was fake news until the debate when they all ganged up to get rid of Joe Biden. And now they're all the experts in this. And now they're hitting Trump over his age. They really do. Guy sits down today for an incredibly long interview with Bloomberg News at the Economic Club of Chicago, talking about numbers, talking about jobs, talking about tariffs, talking about manufacturing. This is the attack point they want to use, though, to try to, and I guess now it's okay to attack people on his. Nobody attacked Biden on his age. They attacked Biden on the fact that the guy he's clearly hiding his own Easter eggs. So they're trying to make that be Donald Trump right now, and he won't release his numbers. What number? This is back to the cholesterol numbers. This is we need to know his triglyceride level before we can elect him president. That's what this is. That's the attack. Well, I don't know. Guy may have high triglycerides, may have a fatty liver. I don't know what I'm just saying. He doesn't drink, but he's still got a fatty liver, you know, if you are a couple pounds overweight. I guess that's the attack point. It's Rich from people that said Joe Biden was smart as a whip. Remember Joe Scarborough said, I've never seen Joe Biden better in my life. I've never seen him better in my life. Till that debate stage, which was a setup. These people, I just have no shame. I just have to laugh. Go ahead.
It's interesting because the age issue really damaged President Biden before he got out of the race.
Did it? Was it the age issue or the dementia
hurt Trump in
issue?
The same way down this home stretch?
Sure. The only thing I disagree with is I don't think Donald Trump is hiding much. Look at you. You have to be demented to stand on stage and start dancing when it's a town hall. I mean, that we have two sides of Donald Trump.
Obviously, if you dance, if you start dancing, you are demented. I mean, clearly, at a town hall or a wedding or a dance club, a bar mitzvah, a bat mitzvah, whatever, you are demented. Well, I agree. I think any white man who dances is demented. I agree. I mean, I'm saying that as a guy who can't dance. I cannot dance to save my life. That's what they're using as their bar for gauging Trump's mental state, the fact that he started dancing at a rally.
One, we have just this grave threat.
I mean, he's doing the white man's overbite, but
our Constitution, our democracy.
Well, by the way, what is it? Is he Hitler and he's going to destroy the world and destroy democracy? Or is he a demented old man who dances? A carefree man who dances with joy to the sounds of YMCA. I just can't follow along here with the attack lines. I feel like you people need to pick a lane. All right. Either he's the next Fuhrer who's going to use his immense might and power to destroy democracy and the world, or he's a hapless old man dancing to the village people. Which one is it? Pick an attack line and stick with it. It would just be easier to follow along, don't you think? Could you just do us a solid? Pick one. Column A or column B. You can't mix two. Keep going.
On the same hand, I would say the principal driving force of his incompetency is the fact that he is not all there. He's a couple fries short of a Happy Meal at this point.
Oh.
And that's why he's standing up there dancing to the YMCA. He can barely do the YMCA if you actually check out the video.
Right.
And so this is a story in a video. You don't even actually have to listen to his words. And it's just imperative at this point that the campaign pushes those two separate narratives. Grave threat and also just supremely incompetent and entering the final stages of his life. You know, I feel bad for his family right now. I know so many people.
So now they're doing the dementia attack line. Well, I guess you people have nothing to worry about, Ben, because if he is the tyrant madman who's going to take over the world and install his fascistic rule, he'll just forget about it. Right. Oh, but it goes on. It goes on. But I do have to give ABC's Terry Moran credit because he actually confirmed that Trump did not freeze on the stage. He was merely just dancing. I mean, they're losing their friggin' minds over this guy dancing. Don Lemon did the same thing, too. Don Lemon couldn't handle the fact that Trump was dancing.
And on that note, this is definitely the pursuit of the Harris campaign this morning. They sent out a doctor's note from 230-plus doctors and health providers saying the American people deserve to have confidence in their elected officials' mental and physical capacity to do the jobs they've elected them to do. Trump ought to be above and beyond to be going above and beyond to provide transparency on his physical health and mental acuity, given his advancing age. Mm-hmm. They're throwing everything at him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, those are the standards that he had for who? Joe Biden. Those are the standards that he had for Barack Obama when he wanted him to release his birth records. So the rules just don't apply to him. Is he okay? You know, Kamala Harris is asking, the vice president is asking, I hope he's okay. He's not okay. That behavior is not okay. Let's just be honest about it. It's odd. It's weird. If you look at his rallies, you'll see when he went to Coachella, he just sort of stands there, and, you know, wants people to sort of, he's like bask in the glow of the applause when he
stood there. So if he danced, they attack him for dancing. If he just stands there, they attack him for standing. I'm trying to understand this. So, Don, would you have been okay then if Trump started dancing at that moment versus just standing there, basking in the applause? Because God knows speakers never do that when they're done speaking. Stand on stage and say thank you and take applause. That's never been done before. So they'll attack him for dancing. They'll attack him for standing. I'm just curious now, what else?
To just regular rallies. He waits for, you know, proud to be an American. He stands there the entire time. And just like, you know, letting people sort of praise him as if he's a monarch. This behavior is not okay. And I think leading up to the election, it's going to get worse. The hyperbole, the sort of unusual behavior, it's going to get worse as he gets more desperate until election day comes.
And there might be more dancing.
Definitely.
There might be a couple more jigs. I'm just saying, he might start doing the Irish jig. You just never know. YMCA. Did you see how we did the C? I'm just saying that C was kind of off. I don't know. I don't. You may be losing it. This is. You know what I'm going to look forward to when Trump's president again? The media losing their friggin' minds on everything again. Do you remember how much fun we had with that for 4 years? Well, really 3 years, and then COVID kind of derailed some of that. But the first 3 years of his presidency were just such a joy. Every day there was another media meltdown over something. But this is a new one. This is great. He's dancing. He's standing. He's standing. He's dancing. He's standing. Standing, dancing. And dancing, standing. He's just listening to music. He's literally just on the stage listening to God Bless the USA. Like people do when people sing a song. They stand there and listen to the singer. Here's ABC News.
Hall event in Pennsylvania took an unusual turn after he was interrupted twice by medical emergencies in the room. Trump stopped taking questions and stood on stage for nearly 45 minutes listening to his soundtrack. The crowd slowly dispersed, but many stayed for what became an impromptu indoor concert. ABC News senior national correspondent Terry Moran joins me now for more from Pennsylvania. Hey, Terry.
Alex, so Donald Trump came here to the suburbs of Philadelphia, one of the critical battlegrounds in this battleground state, looking for votes. And it was scheduled to be this town hall event where he would be taking questions and listening to voters. And it turned into something else, as you say, when the candidate turned into a DJ.
Donald Trump, in his 11th trip to must-win Pennsylvania, urged his supporters to turn out on Election Day.
We win Pennsylvania, we win the whole thing.
Yes.
In a town hall-style event in the western suburbs of Philadelphia, the former president stuck to his top issues, attacking Vice President Harris over inflation and immigration. He pledged to shut the southern border, end Russia's war in Ukraine, lower prices at the grocery store, and bring down interest rates to 2%, while providing few details on how he'd accomplish all that.
People don't think of grocery. You know, it sounds like not such an important word when you talk about homes and everything else, right? But more people tell me about grocery bills, where the price of bacon, the price of lettuce, the price of tomatoes, they tell me, and we're going to do a lot of things.
But then, 30 minutes in, two attendees suffered medical emergencies.
A doctor, please.
Okay, so that happens. I was speaking at an event once and somebody passed out. It happens. Okay, it happens. All right, let's keep going. I mean, up until this point, it sounds fine. He's addressing all the key issues. He's got Governor Kristi Noem on the stage. He's talking to the attendees at the town hall. Okay, all right. Okay.
Doctor.
The incident shifted the mood, prompting Trump to...
That monster called for a doctor. That monster, that madman, interrupted his own train of thought to call for a doctor. Can you believe this man, this monster? He has no soul. To call for a doctor, please, when people pass out? I'm sorry, but that is... what a dictator would do. Oh, yes. Indeed. Very definition of a dictator. Call for a doctor to go take care of somebody versus you going to do it yourself, even though you're not a doctor. All right.
Cut the question short and instead play some of his favorite music.
How about this? We'll play YMCA and we'll go home.
Trump kept DJing, and most of his supporters stayed for another 30 minutes of his playlist.
What a monster. What kind of a madman dances to the Village People? What? Do you remember those old classic clips of Hitler dancing to the Village People? Some of the Pol Pot and Stalin. I mean, just some of the best ones. Really, true. Mao does the Village People. He did a whole cover band on this. I mean, only a dictator out of his friggin' mind would dance to the Village People for 30 minutes. And not just the Village People, but other people as well. But and have fun with the crowd and smile and laugh and have a good time. Clearly, the mark of a madman. Okay?
Well, in certain quarters of social media, people had a field day with that. And I guess on the screens, it might have looked quite strange. Inside that hall, however, people were having a good time. What can I tell you? It did not seem out of the ordinary. It seemed almost intimate. And at the end, Trump did something he very rarely does. He came down off the stage and mingled with his supporters. He was signing autographs and shaking hands and the like. Today, he's doing an interview with Bloomberg in Chicago. And then
Terry, you're not supposed to say that people were having a good time and it was an intimate experience. Shh, zip it. You're not supposed to say that, all right? Dancing, standing, smiling, calling for a doctor, signing autographs, meeting people, talking. These are all clearly the signs of a man who needs medical, clearly, definitely has high cholesterol. And for that reason, is unfit to be president. Okay? Okay. Very good. We'll be right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right. Yes. It's almost Wednesday. Look at us. Getting through another day. Another day closer to the election. And I don't know, somewhere right now, Trump may be dancing. It's very possible. Great to have you with us today. I'm very, very excited. Don't forget, you know, I've been rocking my Cape May shirt all day with the for the YouTube stream, which we do from 3 to 6 every day. We'll be back at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey on December 20th. So make your plans now. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a great time. It's always a great time. And recapping our top story today, it's happened earlier, Trump with the Bloomberg editor-in-chief, man with a distinguished accent, at the Economic Club of Chicago, Kamala Harris, turned them down, did not want to participate. But this was kind of a funny moment, I thought. We talked about tariffs. Tariffs are the whole thing, right? This is a question that we can debate. Once he gets in there, you can go around policies, but it plays well with voters. It really does. I'm telling you, it plays well with working voters. I don't really anticipate a tariff on everything happening. I also think there's going to be, like anything else, there's going to be a lot of negotiation, a lot of room. But with working people, they love this stuff. But it's also pushing back on the idea of the globalists and the elites. And we can debate this stuff all day long. I think what it is it just is a message that resonates with working people who've seen jobs outsourced and American manufacturing go overseas.
What does the Wall Street Journal know? I'm meeting with them tomorrow. What does the Wall Street Journal know? They've been wrong about everything. So have you, by the way. You've been wrong.
You're trying to turn this into debate. There are business people.
You've been wrong. You've been wrong all your life on this.
It's going to be a big debate over tariffs. No doubt about it. I would just say this, and here's the thing, and this is the key point on this. You know, get him in there, and you can figure out the policy nuances after that, okay? Trump mentioned that they are working right now, Virginia, Governor Glenn Youngkin, defending removing non-citizens from the voter rolls in Virginia, must-win state of Virginia. And you know what happened? The Justice Department goes after them for removing dead voters and non-citizens from their voting rolls. And the governor of Virginia has to come out and defend that. It's absolutely outrageous.
I just haven't gotten over something the Justice Department did yesterday where Virginia cleaned up its voter rolls and got rid of thousands and thousands of bad votes, and the Justice Department sued them that they should be allowed to put those bad votes and illegal votes back in and let the people vote. So I haven't gotten over that. A lot of people have seen that. They can't even believe it.
I mean, I can't believe it. I cannot believe that occurred and that Governor Glenn Youngkin has to go out there and explain this and defend this. The Department of Justice sues Virginia over enforcement of a 2006 law removing non-citizens from voting lists. It's unbelievable. They announced it was filing a lawsuit against the state of Virginia, Virginia State Board of Elections, and Virginia Commissioner of Elections over the state's enforcement of a 2006 law removing non-citizens from voter lists. The DOJ wrote that the removal of voters from election rolls so close to the upcoming presidential election violated Section AC2 of the National Voter Registration Act, also known as the Quiet Period Provision. Can you believe this? First of all, the states run the elections in this country, not the federal government. That's number one. Number two, this requires all registrars to cancel the registrations of non-citizens who have registered to vote in a local, state, or federal election by falsely claiming that they are a citizen, including the forging of documentation or any other means of improper registration. Why would you go after Virginia for doing that unless you want people to cheat? This is why there's no faith in the system. This is why people think the Democrats are absolutely correct. Or corrupt, excuse me, not correct. My God, no, corrupt. This is why, and I'm glad Trump brought that up today. It's unbelievable. It really is. They are doing everything they possibly can to try to ensure that illegal immigrants can vote in this election. And it's frustrating. And listen, if you're angry about Trump on tariffs, if you're a libertarian type, how about this? When he went after the Federal Reserve, because I think that that's great that he did that. That was really good.
You've gone backwards and forwards about whether you want to keep Jerome Powell as chair of the Federal Reserve. His term as chair runs on to May 2026. Would you seek to remove or demote him?
Look, I think it's the greatest job in government. You show up to the office once a month and you say, let's see, flip a coin. And everybody talks about you like you're a god. Oh, what will he do? I mean, before, the guy used to walk into my office, he was like begging for us. He was fine.
But you talked about removing him once.
I did, because he was keeping the rates too high.
Yeah.
And I was right.
And you would do that again?
In fact, he actually dropped them too much when I did this, because I said I was threatening to terminate him. There was a question as to whether or not you could. And there was an article in the New York Times, two half pages. One page said I can do it by lawyers. One half page said I couldn't. And that was enough for him. And he dropped the hell out of the race. He dropped them too much. He dropped them actually too much. Okay. Here's the story. I think that if you're a very good president with good sense, you should be able to at least talk to him. Now, I don't say make the decision at all, but I've been a very successful businessman. I've done really good, much better. Now people are understanding how good I've done because they're seeing it real, much better than the fake news wants to give me credit for.
I just think the Fed is too powerful. I do, and I think the Fed has caused so much of the problems that we have in this country right now with inflation. All right, that's the show. Thank you for listening. Appreciate it. We're back tomorrow from 3 to 7. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, straight ahead.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.